Welcome to Sibylline Podcasts, part of our World Risk Register Threat Monitoring Service. These podcasts are released on a weekly basis, covering timely and relevant topics. In these discussions, we hope to shed light on evolving scenarios and provide actionable predictions and implications. We hope you enjoy listening and welcome any feedback. Hello and welcome to our latest Sibylline podcast. In this session, we're going to be talking about the tariff row between China and the US. And with me to do that, I'm joined by our Asia Pacific analyst, Amy Reynolds. So Amy, thank you very much for joining us on this session. And what's the latest?
Okay, so it's pretty clear that the trade tensions between China and the US have been intensifying quite significantly this week. This sort of kicked off on Monday when we had China announcing some relatively mild sanctions on US imports, which was quickly followed on Tuesday by the US clarifying a list of some tariffs that they've announced last week on a whole range of over 1,300 Chinese products. And then China then retaliated very quickly on Wednesday with some more hard-hitting tariffs on US imports, which included a range of products such as soybeans, airplanes, and automobiles. So all this has been accompanied by some quite fiery rhetoric, particularly on the Chinese side, with regard to not wanting to back down, not wanting to be bullied by the US. But at the same time, especially over the last 24 hours, we've seen perhaps a little bit of softening. We've seen diplomatic attempts on both sides, trying to kind of maybe take a bit of a step back and talk about starting some negotiations before either side does anything too hasty and implements their sanctions. So that's kind of where we're at today.
And I guess a lot of this was a bit of a surprise because China has been assessed as having more to lose than the US from a potential trade war. And, yeah. You know, talk of a trade war has been going on for, well, ever since President Trump came to the White House, really. Yeah. So I suppose this has been a long time in the offing. And I guess the big question left is, you know, will these tariffs be enforced or is this just a lot of posturing, really, just to kind of make a point? And, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a very good question. There's kind of evidence that suggests both at the moment. There are certain drivers that make it seem like this is all going to go ahead. Largely the fact that both sides have been quite, as I said before, quite fiery about the whole affair, not wanting to step down, not wanting to lose face, denting their national pride. You know, you've got two major global superpowers here, and the spotlight is very much on them at the moment. So either one seen to be taking a step back is going to be quite significant. So that suggests they're going to go ahead. But then on the other hand, you've of course got the obvious economic harm that will arise to both sides if things do indeed go ahead. You've also got a...
Sorry, before we go on to that, perhaps you could just give us a bit of an idea of the timings that we're looking at of when these would go ahead. You know, are there any kind of decision points coming up or, you know, what's the timescale we're looking at here?
Absolutely. So the US have said they're going to hold off on implementation for about 30 days. During that period, there's going to be a public hearing. Yet, you know, Trump and his aides have vowed from announcement day that they will be doing this. So while they are going to listen to, you know, industry leaders and whoever might have something to say, from what they've said so far, they're pretty determined that things are going to go ahead. And then on the Chinese side, the kind of general line is that if the US do it, we will too. Mm. So we're looking at about 30 days to have a clearer picture on what's happening.
Okay. So kind of mid-May, I guess, we'll have a bit more of a clearer picture with a view to tariffs really sort of being implemented from late May or early June or?
Yeah, I think so. It's probably safer to say early June, given how these things often take longer than predicted.
Yeah, I guess so. And I suppose there'll be a situation where we'll have initial legislation, which will be followed up by secondary legislation.
Exactly.
So the thing will, if it does go ahead, we'll kind of... get worse over time as it, you know, becomes fully implemented.
Yeah.
So you started to talk about the economic impacts.
And yes.
I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No worries.
I think you were about to about to sort of tell us there. But what do you think are the main impacts, in the kind of short term and medium term and longer term of this trade war, if indeed we are in a trade war? Perhaps you could start with that. Do you think we're in a trade war?
Well, this is the key thing, isn't it? Well, I suppose I think the definition of a trade war is countries deliberately trying to harm the economies of the others by taking measures such as implementing tariffs. So by that definition, yes, we are. We're at least at the very beginning of it. And then if we do indeed see tariffs implemented next month, then I think we are, yes.
Okay, and so let's. I'm sorry, I asked you two questions. There, let's go on and have a look at the main impacts. You know, what do you think is going to happen?
Sure. So, well, I think straight off the bat, as we've been seeing in the last few days already, we've seen some pretty significant slides in the stock markets in both Asia and the U.S. as investors start to adjust their positions to the increasing likelihood of an escalating trade war. But then I think it's kind of important to say as well that we're not going to see anything that's going to shake the core of either of these two major economies. Even if you look at the trade figures alone, it's not the currently tariffed products or the products that are planned to be sanctioned by both sides don't even make up a particularly huge section of the imports. So on the whole, the bigger picture, it's going to be a fairly negligible kind of economic impact. But where these tariffs are going to be more significant is with regard to certain sectors and certain companies operating within those sectors. So, on the US side, we're looking at any companies who import significant products and parts of tariff products from China. So a lot of the Chinese targeted products are electronic goods, so these kind of companies. And then on the other hand, you've got US companies who export a lot of products to China and gain their revenues that way. For example, US soybean producers, they're going to be hard hit by these tariffs. I believe US soybean producers send 60% of their products to China at the moment. So this is absolutely huge. And then you've also got, as I think I mentioned before, US airplane companies, they're on the Chinese tariffs list. Boeing, for example, their shares slid 5% yesterday. They're going to lose market share to, the European rival Airbus if this all goes ahead. Ford, General Motors, they've all been putting out statements in the last few days, kind of expressing their concerns. And then on the Chinese side, of course, it's a very similar story. So you've got Chinese companies that export products to the US that the US are now putting tariffs on. This is a bit more wide-ranging, actually. There's 1,333 products on the US list, and that tends to be household items. So a lot of kind of flat-screen TVs, washing machines, things like this. It's almost easier to talk about what's not on the list, and that tends to be clothes and shoes and things that are more likely to be passed on directly to the American consumers. Mm.
And so what are the chances of this turning into a protracted trade war? You mentioned just there that it's easier to comment on what's not on there.
Yeah.
Is there anything, should these tariffs go ahead, are there any sort of escalation positions that they can go to create or to lead to a more protracted trade war, or is this kind of a blip in a bigger strategic play?
I think, obviously at this stage, it is going to be difficult to say, to kind of think with that sort of long-termism when events are still unfolding almost as we speak, things are happening very quickly. But I think it does seem fair to say that if they are indeed implemented, they're likely to be in place for some time. As we've said, the reasons behind the whole affair will still be relevant. So, for example, China aren't going to want to back down in 5 months if they don't want to back down now. And likewise, the US is still going to be concerned about their deficits. So I think as long as the current kind of respective administrations are in power, it's difficult to see any type of major backtrack on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And just taking that sort of a step forward or two, I mean, tricky question, but do you think we're looking at a global recession in the next couple of years as a result of this, or is that a little bit of a stretch too far to say at this stage?
I would say possibly a bit of a stretch too far at this stage. I think obviously there are going to be companies and sectors that are badly affected by this, but it is fairly sort of localized damage. It's not so much of a widespread thing. It will affect certain companies' supply chains. It will affect certain companies' revenues and costs. But I don't think a global recession is likely to come of this, no.
Okay. Not inevitable, at least.
No, okay. Definitely not inevitable.
Okay. So beyond the economic aspect of it, what other impacts have we seen so far, and what are we likely to see in the coming weeks and months as a result of this growing antipathy?
It's inevitable, I suppose, that the Chinese-US broader relationship is going to become a bit more fraught because of all this. That said, I think these countries do tend to be quite good at keeping things separate. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily going to impact kind of broader cooperation on regional security issues and things like that. Although that said, you know, there is potential, especially with the North Korean issue, for China to perhaps use kind of their leverage over Kim to potentially, you know, against the US, but with regard to trade issues. So that's certainly possible. But so far, from the rhetoric and the comments we've seen from official channels on both sides, things do seem to be confined largely to the economic sphere. There hasn't been threat of more widespread retaliation. It's not to say there won't be, especially if things do escalate. But currently, I don't think that's likely. I think things like visas for the US for Chinese citizens and vice versa, there's been no talk of any change there, so that seems quite secure to me.
And I guess the timing of Kim Jong-un, his visit to Beijing 2 weeks ago, is kind of significant because we've got a summit coming up between South Korean President Moon Jae-in and Donald Trump, a delegation from the US, going to meet the North Korean regime. Is it mid-May, I think?
Yes.
Put you on the spot there.
Sounds
sorry.
About right.
So the timing of all of this is quite critical. So I suppose, in one sense, Beijing is hoping to pressurize the US in terms of the trade war through those geopolitical events. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, China also doesn't want a nuclear North Korea, and certainly doesn't want the upheaval and chaos that the whole thing has caused hitherto. So I suppose that perhaps is posturing, and as you say, we'll have to wait and see how that pans out. But nonetheless, there is a potential pressure point there.
Definitely.
And in return, I guess US relations with Taiwan have been another pressure point that is being used to pressurize China, and so we'll see if there's any change there.
Yeah.
So in the longer term, do you think, how does this fit with the sort of long-term strategy of Beijing, and particularly with Belt and Road and that kind of thing?
I think you can definitely interpret the One Belt, One Road strategy in terms of China seeking to, you know, diversify the sources of its imports and exports a little bit more. I think this kind of trade war very much draws attention to the need to do that, and, you know, alleviate a bit of its reliance on the US. So I think when the One Belt, One Road initiative develops further, I think China will feel a bit more secure, reduce a bit of its vulnerability. However, I don't see that as something that is likely to lead to any kind of aggression on China's part. I see it more as a defensive move to kind of cover its back, which is generally how China seems to operate in the international sphere.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much, Amy, for your thoughts there. That was really interesting stuff.
No problem. Thank you.
And if any of our conversation today has sparked further questions, then please don't hesitate to get in touch. We will, of course, continue to monitor the developments over the coming weeks and months. And you can read about it in our daily reporting, our weeklies and our monthlies and our alerts, all part of our World Risk Register service. And I'm sure we'll be doing many a podcast on this same topic as it develops over the coming months. So thank you very much for joining us, and we hope to catch up with you soon. Thank you for listening, and we hope you have found this podcast useful. If you would like to learn more about our services, or if you have any questions or feedback, please get in touch at info@sibylline.co.uk.